As the government continues to reunite immigrant families who were separated at the border by the Trump administration, new reporting has uncovered evidence that points to widespread abuse in the government-run shelters where migrant children are being held. Michael Graybell is a reporter with ProPublica, and his co-author, Topher Sanders, obtained police reports and call logs from more than 70 of the 100 federally approved immigrant youth shelters run by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, places like Southwest Key, which runs several facilities here in Arizona. And what they found led the director of child and adolescent psychiatry at the Boston Medical Center to remark that this system is, quote, a goldmine for sexual predators. That is the quote Graybell and Sanders used to title their reporting on instances of sexual assaults and abuse to minors within this federal system. Graybell is on the line with us. And Michael, what did you find during your investigation?
We found hundreds of allegations of sexual offenses, fights, missing children. And it really kind of challenges the notion that the Trump administration has put out that these are safe havens, that the children are going to places that they'll be well taken care of.
Yeah. And I want to, I mean, am I wrong in assuming that most reports, like in most cases of sexual abuse and harassment, most reports are going to go or most people will not report these things? Is that right?
Absolutely. This is a very vulnerable population. The kids and teenagers come over, they don't speak English, they don't really know the legal system well, they may have experienced traumatic events themselves in their home countries or along the migration, and they're kind of unsure of the new environment. They don't know who is going to help their case or hurt their case. So we spoke to many psychologists who said that this is a population that is very unlikely to come forward about abuse.
So what does it say to you that you still found hundreds of complaints?
Number one, there are some staff members at these facilities that are taking advantage of that situation, taking advantage of the vulnerabilities. The other things we see are that there are children from all sorts of different backgrounds kind of being put together in these shelters, which were never intended to be long-term group homes. Mm-hmm. But now the time they've gone from staying there about an average a month to about an average for 2 months. And you're seeing these relationships develop. You're seeing some kids taking advantage of other kids, you know, who come from different backgrounds.
These are government-run facilities, but they're contracted out, correct? Or who's operating these?
So the biggest operator of the facilities is Southwest Key, which is a Texas-based nonprofit. It runs many of the shelters in Arizona, and it received about $1.3 billion in grants and contracts to run the shelters along with some other services in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and we've definitely heard about and reported on Southwest Key here. What's their response been to what you found?
So they say that they have a robust system to prevent these things from happening, and that when they do happen, they take them seriously, that they have a zero tolerance policy. We found several reports that raise questions about how incidents are handled. Mm-hmm. In one case, Southwest Key appears to have taped over some surveillance footage that police later sought. In another case, police came seeking some statements from employees, and Southwest Key's attorney refused to turn them over to police. We've seen another case in which a child reported abuse, but it wasn't until 6 days later that they actually brought in someone to do a forensic interview with the child.
Is there a barrier between police, between local law enforcement and these facilities? Is it difficult because they're federally contracted for them to get in and do these kinds of investigations?
It's not supposed to be. Police are the first responders to these facilities. But one of the things we found is that there are many different people that they have to report to. So in some sense, there's this overlapping regulatory system that should be providing many layers that this stuff doesn't fall through. But we did hear from some staff members that it's a little unclear who's in charge of investigating. The feds can investigate, the local police can investigate, the state inspectors can investigate, and it's not exactly clear where the buck stops.
Yeah. What's being done then? I mean, I guess, is there recourse that these victims can take, the people who are complaining of this kind of abuse?
Of course, they are able to sue if they want to, and don't worry about their, you know, how that might affect their immigration status. One of the things that was really interesting to me that we heard from former officials who ran the refugee program was that they recognized back in 2014 that there was this sort of surge of migrants coming to the border, and that creating various problems they hadn't dealt with before. So the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement came up with a plan to better monitor these facilities and presented it. It was supposed to take place at the end of 2016 into 2017, But when I asked the Trump administration whatever happened to this, they said, well, the last administration didn't implement it, and we think we're monitoring the facilities every day, and that's all they would say. So it's unclear whether any of those suggestions were ever followed up on.
Are there child advocates? Is the ACLU working on this issue? What about on the other side of this, people who are advocating on behalf of these people who have complained?
There are a number of immigrant advocates who are raising these questions in court about how good are the conditions in these facilities? Are they appropriate places to be caring for children? And we recently heard about a case in which a six-year-old who was one of these children who was separated from their parents reporting abuse at a facility and having to fill out these forms that talk about staying away from her abuser. And instead of signing her name, she signs it with just the letter D. Because she's 6 years old, you know, she can't really sign her name.
Michael Graybell is a reporter with ProPublica. Michael, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you for having me.